In Micah, the fourth chapter, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished? That pain seized you like a woman in labor. Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon." The book of Micah is a powerful book. Micah was one of the 12 minor prophets. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Amos and Hosea. And all of the pre-exile prophets had one thing in common, and that was exile is coming. One message to Israel: exile, the Babylonian exile, is coming. You see, because of Judah's idolatry and disobedience and their rebellion against God, God has to allow his people to go into exile. But God doesn't do that to destroy them. No, God allows them to go into exile to deliver them. And you this amazing imagery that Micah uses, notice in verse 10, he says, "Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor." Any moms out there scream when you gave birth? Anyone's kids still making you scream? Oh man, we actually see this imagery throughout the Bible. Micah compares the pain of God delivering Judah from exile with the pain of a mother giving birth. And so I thought, what better subject than the day before Mother's Day to talk about the pain of delivery, my subject, the pain of delivery. We see this imagery of the pain of deliverance being compared to a mother in labor throughout the Bible. In Revelation 12, 2, she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. The beginning of Micah 4 starts with all of the blessings of God's deliverance. And so at the beginning of Micah chapter 4, it starts with all of the blessings of Judah's deliverance. You know how it was when you first found out. For our parents out there, you know how it was the first time you found out you were having a baby. It was all about the blessing. You know, it was all about picking those names, and it was about going to the baby stores and picking out the clothes and picking out the stroller and picking out the car seats. I mean, there in the beginning, you even got excited about picking out diapers. That's what's happening here in Micah 4. It starts with the blessing. It starts with the excitement of God delivering Israel from their exile. It begins with the blessing. Micah 4:1, "The house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains." Verse 3, it says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Verse 4, it says, "They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid." So it's all about the blessing in the beginning of Micah 4. But then by the time you get to verse 10, it says, "Writhe and groan like a woman in labor." Basically, the only way we can get to the blessing of verses 1 through 4 is through the pain of verses 9 and 10. The only way to get to the blessing of a new birth is to go through the pain of giving birth. Before you can experience the joy of the nursing room, the nursery room, you've got to experience the pain of the delivery room. Three things we're going to look at today. Three things that are going to help us through our painful deliverance experience. We're going to look at the pain, we're going to look at the promise, and then we're going to look at the last point, the person. So first, the pain. Basically, Micah is telling Judah, deliverance is going to be painful. So exile is going to be a painful experience. You're going to get pushed out of your country. You're going to get kicked out of your homes. People are going to laugh at your faith. You're not going to be able to go to the temple when you want to go to the temple. Deliverance is coming, but the path to delivery is paved with pain. Micah 4:9 says it's going to seize you like a woman in labor. Friends, has the pain of life ever seized you? Has the pain of this pandemic seized you? The bad diagnosis that you got from the doctor, the bad news that you saw on the television, the late night call you got from the police, or that day you got served divorce papers. You see, the pain of life has a way of seizing you, knocking the breath out of you. No wonder God compares deliverance to the process of labor and delivery to a mother having a baby. You see, you can't deliver a baby without pain. I don't know that personally, but based on my wife's facial expressions and her the pain that she went through, I can tell you, it's painful. You can't deliver a baby without pain. It's impossible. In fact, pregnancy is a promise of pain. When you find out you're pregnant, it's an announcement. Pain's on its way. Ever since sin entered the picture, Genesis 3:16, God tells his children, in pain you shall bring forth children. Now, I want to challenge you right now that God is not just talking about the physical pain that Eve would have to go through and every daughter of Eve since. He's not just talking about the physical pain moms go through in delivery, but he's also talking about the pain we must all go through in our process of being delivered. Okay? When we get to Revelation, check this out. Revelation 12:2, it says, she, all right, that's the church, was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Who was she giving birth to? Jesus. Who is the woman of Revelation? The church. The church is called to deliver Christ. Okay? The process of Christ growing in us and growing to full term and then delivering us from exile, let me tell you, it's a painful experience. Deliverance comes at a price. P-A-I-N, pain. You know, for our mothers who are watching today, at what point in the excitement, at what point in the rejoicing does the reality of what's coming in 9 months hit you? You know, at what point does the tears of joy turn into tears of fear and trepidation? Because I can tell you right now, the first thought going through my mind would be, I got to do what? I gotta do what? I would be worried about that the entire time leading through those 9 months up to the delivery. And you know what's interesting, friends? The same thing happens when God begins to deliver us from sin. You know, when we experience God and we experience new life, the thing we have those same moments in our own deliverance experience, when that moment when it kind of goes through our mind and we think, wait a second, I gotta do what? You mean you really expect me to do what this book says? You mean you really think, you really expect me to seek first the kingdom of God? I really have to love my enemies? I've really got to forgive that person? You mean you really expect me to return 10% of my salary even during a pandemic? Especially during a pandemic. Because you see, friends, there is nothing like pain to show us what our priorities are. And suddenly you have these moments in your early on in the delivery experience, right? When you're pregnant with the gospel and you're excited about what God's going to do. Suddenly, just like in Micah, it seizes you. Wait a second, God's serious. This is really going to happen. Faith, hope, prayer is not optional in exile. In Micah 4:13, it says, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron and I will make your hooves bronze. Now, that's some really interesting imagery. Basically, threshing is the process of separating wheat from chaff. So wheat has value, chaff was worthless. And throughout the pain of exile, God was saying through Micah that through this exile experience, I'm threshing. I'm separating the wheat from the chaff. Babylon's corruption is going to make you hunger for my justice. God was saying that the pain of the Babylonian exile will cause you to hold on to the promises of God instead of to the promises of politicians. You won't appreciate home until you lose it. You're not going to appreciate the church until you lose it. It's only through the pain of exile that I'm going to be able to deliver you. And friends, the same thing happens in the Christian life. Removing chaff from our life isn't easy. Removing the chaff from us is hard. Why? Well, because we grow attached to our chaff. We all have chaff. Some of us have chaffy habits. Some of us have some chaffy faith. Others of us have really chaffy attitudes. Psalms tells us that we were born in chaff, and chaff's all we have ever known. You see, because we were delivered into sin, God's got to deliver us from sin. It's threshing time. God uses pain to thresh. Separating the good stuff from the bad stuff. He's got to separate the good influences from the bad influences. He's got to separate the good habits from the bad habits. He's got to separate the right view of the church from the wrong view of the church. Matthew 3:12 says his winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he's going to gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he's going to burn with an unquenchable fire. So it's here in exile, God's going to burn up the chaff in your life so that he doesn't have to burn you up with your chaff when he returns. Micah 4:10. God tells Judah, you are going into Babylon. You know, as Adventists, we hear a lot of sermons on coming out of Babylon. Today we're talking about going into Babylon. God tells Israel, you're going into Babylon. You're going into exile. But hallelujah, friends, that verse doesn't stop there. It continues. Yeah, you're going into Babylon, but it's in Babylon. Notice, it says, you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. You're going into Babylon, but only so that I can bring you out of Babylon. Friends, the good news of the pregnancy is that shouts of pain eventually turn into shouts of joy. God's bringing you in only to bring you back out. Which brings us to the second point, the promise. How can we make it through the painful experience of deliverance? How can we make it through the pain of delivery? The promise. That's how. It's the only way. You see, we only go into a delivery room so that we can come back out. And we come back out with a blessing that we didn't have before. You see, God wants to bring you out of exile. God wants to bring you out of your problem. He wants to bring you out of the pandemic. He wants to bring you out of the pain with something that you didn't have before, with a love we didn't have before, with a patience we didn't have before, with a way of doing ministry that we didn't have before, with a gospel that we didn't have before, with a church that we didn't have before. It hurts, it's hard, it's uncomfortable. I mean, why do you think they call it labor? Call it labor because it's a lot of work. I mean, when a woman gives birth, it takes everything she's got. Absolutely, totally exhausted. Once that baby is born, you can see they are completely drained, totally exhausted. And that's not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. You know what? I believe that's a tiny glimpse of the way we're going to be when we finally get to heaven. Totally drained, totally exhausted, mentally, physically, everything. Man, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna collapse at the feet of Jesus. You know who else is going to collapse? my guardian angel. Man, I pray for my guardian angel, man. That guy has earned every bit of money that that angel has. Mercy. I've made my angel do a lot of hard work. But friends, the good news is that no matter how rough the pain is, it does not compare to the prize. Micah 4:11 says that many nations are gathered against you. And just like we saw last week, they surround you. Problems and people who don't like you and nations are going to surround you. You see, when God is delivering you, the enemy's going to come after you. And enemies are going to surround you. Bosses are going to have it out for you just because of your dedication and love for the Lord. People you thought had your back are going to stab you in the back. Mark 13:13, Jesus says that you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end, hallelujah, will be delivered. Saved. That's the promise. That's the promise. You see, friends, the enemy will tell you that if God really loved you, that he wouldn't let you go through this pain or this problem. That is a lie. That is a lie of the enemy. You see, because of sin, pain is the price of delivery. But the promise reminds us, hallelujah, pain won't last forever. You see, in the delivery room, man, you got to be focused. Friends, in today's day and age, in exile, we've got to be focused. Same thing goes for the delivery room. You got to breathe right. Man, Brittany and I took classes, Lamaze classes, for our first child, Caleb. You know, we went to all the classes and stuff like that. And man, the last two kids, Brittany didn't even have time to breathe. Those kids came so fast. But for Caleb, you know, we went to the Lamaze classes because when you're in labor and delivery, it's important to be able to breathe right. Okay? You gotta be focused. I remember at one point when Brittany was in labor with our first child, I was just right up in her face. You know, I was trying to help her out, you know. I was like, And she's just like, Richie, you got to get out of my face. You see, friends, in the delivery room, there's no room for distraction. You've got to focus. You got to breathe right. Friends, when the devil's breathing down your neck, you need to tell him, in the name of Jesus, get out of my face. I got to focus on this. I got to focus on my breathing. You see, delivery is ultimately between a husband and a wife. And the same goes for salvation. Again, man, for our first child, it was really cool. Our doctor delivered our first three kids, friend of the family, a member of our church. And so he was really lenient. And for Caleb, our first, man, my mom was in the delivery room. Brittany's mom was in the delivery room. Some aunts and uncles were in the delivery room. Some janitors were in the delivery room. No, I'm joking. But I mean, it was a room full of people. But even though we had a room full of people, ultimately, the delivery is still between the husband and the wife. And the same goes for salvation. You see, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what anybody else thinks about my deliverance. This is between me and Jesus. And if you don't like it, right, you can leave. Another interesting thing about labor and delivery is every delivery is different, right? Some are longer, some are shorter, some happen at home, some happen at the hospital, some happen on the way to the hospital, some do natural, some do the epidural, some do C-section, and that's okay. You see, friends, my deliverance doesn't have to look like your deliverance. My delivery doesn't have to be the same as your delivery. I don't care if I shout too loud for you. I don't care if I'm taking too long for you. I'm not in this to impress you. I'm going through this so that God can get me out of Babylon and in, hallelujah, into the New Jerusalem. Man, this is between me and Jesus. You may not like my delivery process, but I'm in this for one thing, to get out of Babylon and get into Christ Jesus. I'm going to keep on pushing. You know, that's the thing about delivery. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. And that's what I'm going to be doing through my own delivery process of God saving me and changing me. I'm going to keep pushing through the problems. I'm going to keep pushing through the contractions and the devil's distractions, through the pain. I'm going to keep pushing through that pain all the way, hallelujah, to the promise. You see, friends, I've discovered something. In Christ, we have more promises than we have problems. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, friends. That's a promise. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's a promise. 1 John 3:20, even when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That's a promise. In John 16:33, it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, because in the world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have pain, because in order to save you, deliverance is a painful process. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, if I can hold on to the promise, I can get through the pain, because the promise reminds me that one day soon, all the shouts of pain are going to eventually turn into shouts of joy. Hallelujah. John 16:21, when a woman is giving birth. Here again, we see this imagery connected to our deliverance and our salvation. John 16:21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, check this out, she no longer remembers the anguish and the pain and the heartache and the headaches for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. See, this is why, friends, we can praise God even in the pain, the problems, the predicaments, even in the pandemic, because you see, all of this God is going to use. He didn't cause it, but he's still going to use it in order to bring out new life and deliverance and salvation. Hallelujah. Romans 5:3-5, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Verse 4, it says, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can count on God's promise. But as you study the prophets, the pre-exile prophets, one of the things that Israel says is, how do we know God's going to keep his promise? God said he's going to deliver us, but how do we know? Yeah, in Isaiah 49:14, another pre-exile prophet started his ministry and ended his ministry almost exactly the same time as Micah. And these guys were probably buddies, man. They were alive during the same times. I mean, both of them have so many similarities between each other. And notice what Isaiah says, that Israel says in their deliverance process. Isaiah 49:14, Zion said, I don't get it. God has left me. My father, my master has forgotten I even exist. You see, that's the way Israel is feeling. And sometimes we can feel that way in our own exile. You know, where are you, God? Where are you? But notice what God tells Israel in their exile. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Verse 16, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The last point, friends, the person. After Christ was crucified, the disciples feel the exact same way Israel did, in the same way we often do in our own exiles. How do we know you haven't left us? How do we know you're there? How do we know you're still going to come through for us? You see, the disciples were filled with doubt, anxiety, and pain. Because you see, they thought that God hadn't kept up his end of the bargain. They thought God had forgotten his promise. They thought he was the one who was to redeem the world, but he was crucified and he was killed. But then on the third day, it's really awesome because suddenly Jesus shows up. And Jesus does something very interesting. He doesn't show up and say, oh, you should have known what was going to happen. He didn't come at them with more scripture. He didn't come at them. He tells them first, peace be unto you. And then he shows them his hands. Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Friends, how do we know God will deliver us? How do we know that God will keep all of his promises, that we will get through the pain of delivery? Jesus, that's how. Friends, God has given us more than words. Thomas wouldn't even believe it if he didn't see it for himself, if he didn't touch it. God's given us more than words. He's given us his son. You see, the person of Jesus guarantees God's promise. We have more than words to get through the pain. We have a person to get us through the pain. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Friends, when you look at the circumstances of your life and you think, you know what, there's no way he's still with me. And when you look at the problems, and you're like, there's no way he's going to deliver me. I want you to remember the scars of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the hardest things for Israel during the exile is the temple being gone. You see, the temple was the place where God used to dwell with his people. That's where the people had to go if they wanted to spend time with God. And so often what was in their hearts and the painful experience of exile was, well, how do we know that God is there? And I think it's interesting because God says here, I have engraved you. I have not forgot you. Your walls are continually before me. That's an interesting statement. We know that when we get to that the temple is not made with human hands, that God has made our hearts and our lives his temple. And that's what's so significant about Hebrews 49:16. Your walls are continually before me. You see, our walls are continually before God because your life is his temple. He's there in you, with you, through your pain. Your problems, your pain is ever before him. And so those times you're feeling like he's not there and he's forgotten you, I want you to remember the scars. We can trust him even if we don't understand him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Whatever exile you're going through right now, you need to know, because of Jesus, you're coming out of the exile. You're coming out of the pain. You see, the promise from the person of Jesus to you today is whatever you're going through, hallelujah, you're coming out. I promise the pain you go through in the delivery process doesn't compare to the prize that you'll have on the other side. Romans 8:18, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal in us later. Friends, very soon, the shouts of pain are going to turn into shouts of joy. How do I know? Because of the person Jesus. And very soon he's going to split the eastern horizon and every eye's going to see him. And on that day, all the pain and all the problems, they're not going to even come close to comparing to the prize that you have in Christ. In this delivery process, is there going to be pain? Absolutely. There's pain in delivery. But the promise is that we're going to get through it. And the guarantee of that promise is the person of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, we praise you. Lord, I pray you would speak to the hearts of each person here today. I pray that you would speak into our hearts your revival and the hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. We're coming through this pain. We're coming through this pandemic. We can trust you're with us. You're not landlocked to a building. Our walls are before you continually because you've made our heart your home. Wherever we go, you're there. wherever we are, the church is there. Lord, remind us through our own little mini exile experiences that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. That because Jesus did not accept deliverance going all the way to the cross, we can rest assured that deliverance is coming. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.